We're studying this morning in the book of Exodus in chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29. We had to correct last week's outline. It was Mark 29. We had to change to 28. That was a typographical error. So this is the correct chapter this morning. It is a chapter that deals with a couple of things. First of all, we'll, in verses 1 through 37, see the consecration of the priests, and then in the remaining verses of this particular chapter, we will see the continual offerings of the priests. In other words, the things that they will be responsible to take care of in a daily fashion. This, along with or besides other particular offerings that would be brought in on any given occasion, there was a continually daily offering to be made. So we'll look at these things. We'll read through this chapter. It's quite a lengthy reading, but bear with me. We'll read through it, and then we'll come back and deal with it. And then, as we always do at the end of the class, we'll allow you the opportunity to ask questions and to make comments. So this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened, anointed with oil, of wheat and flour shalt thou make them. Thou shalt put them into one basket, bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. Thou shalt take the garments and put upon Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. Thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head, and anoint him. Thou shalt bring his sons, and put coats upon them. Thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons. Put the bonnets on them, and the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. Thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. Thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock. Thou shalt kill the bullock before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Thou shalt take of the blood of the bullock, put it upon the horns of the altar with thy finger, pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar. Thou shalt take all the fat that covereth the inward, and the caul that is above the liver and two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and burn them upon the altar. But the flesh of the bullock and his skin and his dung shalt thou burn with fire without the camp. It is a sin offering. Thou shalt also take one ram. Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. Thou shalt slay the ram, and shalt take his blood and sprinkle it round about upon the altar. Thou shalt cut the ram in pieces and wash the inwards of him and his legs, and put them into his pieces or unto his pieces and unto his head. Thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. Thou shalt kill the ram, and take of his blood, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. Thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar, and of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it upon Aaron, and upon his garments, and upon the sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him, and he shall be hallowed, and his garments, and his sons' garments with him. Also, Thou shalt take of the ram the fat and the rump, and the fat of the, that covereth the inwards and the caul above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and the right shoulder, for it is a ram of consecration. One loaf of bread and one cake of oiled bread, one wafer out of the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord. Thou shalt put it all in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons. Thou shalt wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. Thou shalt receive them of their hands, burn them upon the altar for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Thou shalt take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration and wave it for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be thy part. And thou shalt sanctify the breast of the wave offering and the shoulder of the heave offering which is waved and which is heaved up of the ram of consecration, even of that which is for Aaron and of that which is for his sons. It shall be Aaron's and his sons by statute forever from the children of Israel, for it is an heave offering. It shall be an heave offering from the children of Israel of the sacrifice of their peace offerings, even their heave offering unto the Lord. The holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed therein and to be consecrated in them. That son that is priest in his stead shall put them on 7 days when he cometh into the tabernacle of the congregation to minister in the holy place. Thou shalt take the ram of the consecration and seethe his flesh in the holy place. And Aaron and his son shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They shall eat these, or those things wherewith the atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them. But a stranger shall not eat thereof, because they are holy. And if aught of the flesh of the consecration or of the bread remain unto the morning, then thou shalt burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten, because it is holy. And thus shalt thou do unto Aaron and his sons according to all things which I have commanded thee, 7 days which I have commanded thee. 7 days shalt thou consecrate them. And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for an atonement, and thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it. Thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, 2 lambs of the first year, day by day continually. The one ram thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And with the one lamb, a tenth deal of fine flour, or flour mingled with a fourth part of an hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer for at even, and shall do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak there unto you. There I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Thus we have the reading of the chapter. Now you may change that on the top. I put 1 through 44. It's 1 through 46. Again, like I said, I'd get on to that fella that types this, but he works real cheap. So you make any corrections that need to be made, and add where you need to as we go through it. But hopefully the outlines will be a help and a tool to help you to study. But I want to look at this consecration of the priest this morning. We'll not exhaust the subject, certainly, but there are some things here that are very relevant to us today, and certainly that we need to see about this matter of the consecration. Understand that as God consecrates this priesthood to Aaron, of Aaron and his sons, that it's not just a mean thing, but it is a rather picturesque scene that we have before us. I mean, it's ceremony, and it goes into great detail. But all of these details have a significance. And we'll notice, of course, in the book of Hebrews that we're told that this priesthood was not consecrated or dedicated without blood. But it was dedicated with the blood, as we see it here in these offerings before the Lord. They're actually, in a sense, we'd have to say four offerings that are made here, even though one of them comes back and is associated with the other. But there was, of course, the matter of the sin offering. Then there's the burnt offering. There's the offering of consecration. And then there is the wave offering. And the wave offering, comes back and is associated with the ram of the consecration. But we'll look at these particular events here and these offerings for a moment, and we'll see something in it. In verses 1 through 4, we have just, if you please, the initial instruction to Moses that he is to bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, there are some things here, and I put into the outline three things here that we need to see. First of all, God has chosen them. This is an act on God's part. He's chosen Aaron and his sons. No others can take this upon themselves. In fact, as we look farther into the history of the children of Israel, we'll find out that there are folks that would die because they tried to intrude into the priesthood and take this place that was consecrated by God from those that he chose to minister in that place. Remember, Korah and his family said that we're just as capable as you are. Well, God said, take the rods of the leaders, put them up before the Lord, and I'll show which one I've chosen. Well, it was Aaron's rod that was chosen. And then, of course, the Lord, remember, told the folks to step back from Korah and those that are his followers, and the earth opened up, swallowed them, as the Bible said, down alive into the pit. And it was a very serious matter, and is a serious matter. But we see that this is a choice of God. The second thing is they're to be brought to God. Those that God has chosen are to be dedicated to him. In the New Testament, we're told that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Now, understand this, that when God speaks to a heart, deals in a life, it's a choice that he's made. And he's not going to change his mind about it. Does that mean then that everybody's going to be obedient? No, it doesn't. A lot of folks will be disobedient in their lives. But God never changes his mind, and before that person will ever have peace before the Lord, they're going to have to deal with that issue before God. I've used the illustration of my youngest son, how that as a young man, he surrendered to the mission field. He didn't go. And there finally came a time in his life when I had to be very honest with him, and he was in great difficulty. And I told him, I said, son, you're going to have to deal with this rebellion before the Lord. I said, God called you. Now, I don't know what he'll make you do, but you're going to have to be honest with God and going to have to confess that as sin and rebellion and then deal with it. Well, it took about 3 weeks from that time forward. And he, in conversation one day, as I called him, he said, I have it settled before the Lord. The Lord's given me peace about this. He said, I've been honest with God, confessed it as sin that it is, and he's dealt with it. And I don't know to this day what God may require of him, but nonetheless, he had to deal with it because the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God's not going to change his mind. They're to be brought before God. And in this case, Aaron and his sons are brought, and as they're brought there, they're to be washed. In other words, they have to be vessels that are appropriately fitted for the ministry that God has called them to. And then in verses 5 through 9, they are to be consecrated to the Lord. They are to, first of all, be dressed as God requires. Put on the robes and so forth. Now, that is quite a ceremony in and of itself. We've covered these particular things in the previous study, but thou shalt take the garments and put upon Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod, and the ephod, and the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. Thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Now, remember, of course, there were some of these, such as the robe that was the basic or the base garment underneath the ephod, but the ephod, of course, was the piece that was actually two pieces fastened at the shoulders. And then there was the girdle that drew this around Aaron. And then there was a breastplate where the stones were engraven with the names of the children of Israel. And they were then literally fastened with ribbons of blue through rings of gold to the girdle and to the shoulder where the ouches or the sockets for the other two stones, the precious stones, were upon the shoulders, the clasps that held the ephod together. And in the previous study, we find that Aaron was to bear them before the Lord upon his shoulders, and then the second time upon his heart. And that was their purpose, God's purpose, and that's God's plan. They are to bear the children of Israel up before the Lord. Now, as we look at it in a greater sense, thank God today that Jesus Christ carried our names into the presence of the Father. Not only did he bear us upon his shoulders as he died for our sins, but he bore us upon his heart as he expressed his great love in giving himself as God's lamb to take away the sin of the world. So they are to be dressed as God requires, and then there's the martyr and the holy crown to be put upon his head. Now I think it's significant that the holy crown is mentioned. Remember, this is the gold plate that was to be fastened to the mitre, and on it would say this, holiness unto the Lord. God explained that in the previous chapter, how that he was to bear the iniquity of the holy places. Or what God is saying is that Aaron's going to be responsible to see that my mind, my purposes are carried out in exacting detail. And if there's anything wrong there, Aaron has to deal with it. He has to bear that iniquity. That's a solemn and serious responsibility. It's not something casual to come into the presence of God. We have to be dressed like he wants us dressed. We have to bear the responsibility of the office. And let me say that I'm persuaded that there are varying degrees of responsibility. Does that mean that one Christian is lesser responsible than another? Not before God in one sense, but there is another in which they are. For example, in the pastorate. The Bible teaches in the book of Hebrews that there is a special accountability of the pastor that no other member of the congregation will bear. And that is the spiritual well-being of the congregation. Now, I don't take that lightly, and if any preacher has any good sense, he won't take it lightly. It'll mean something in the preparation of his lessons. It'll mean something in the preparation of his messages. Because it is a solemn responsibility before God, the spiritual well-being of the congregation. And if the congregation's not doing well, then God's going to look first of all to the pastor and deal with him about it. And then, of course, to the individuals, they are in that sense accountable and responsible. But there is that primary and solemn responsibility before God. And Aaron is to be, as it's described, holiness unto the Lord. He's accountable for what God has placed upon him. And then we notice that this is to be a perpetual place for them. That it was not going to change from one family to another. But Aaron and his sons, we'll find out later in this chapter that as Aaron would pass off of the scene, his son would be dressed in the like fashion in the 7 days of consecration. The high priest would be consecrated in the place of the one that had ceased to exist or had died off of the scene. This office was to be held by a particular person until their death, and then the son would take that particular place and be consecrated in like fashion. It was to be a perpetual thing until there came then the fulfillment of all of this in Jesus Christ. Now, the writer of Hebrews again said that if there was a priesthood there on earth that could made perfect, said it wouldn't be in any need of a new covenant and a new priesthood. He said, there are priests on earth that could make offerings, and he spoke of Aaron. But he pointed out that that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. Therefore, there had to come one. And Jesus Christ did come with a far better offering and offered himself. And thus we have the changing of the guard at that particular time, or the priesthood as we know it today. And we notice the offerings. Let's deal with them for a moment. In verses 10 through 14, we have the bullock that is offered for a sin offering. In verse 10, they are to identify with this offering. And this is significant, at least to me. Thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock. Well, the idea, of course, is in this picture that they are identifying with the sin offering. And I want you to know that nobody will ever be able to offer acceptable service before God until they identify with Jesus Christ. I mean, He's the only sin offering that God's ever going to accept. And unless you identify with Jesus Christ, any service will not be acceptable before God. So these Aaron and his sons are to put their hands literally upon the head of that bullock, and there they are identifying with the sin offering. Well, in the offering, of course, that we come to today, our Lord Jesus Christ, when He came to earth, He identified with the sinner. We're told that in the book of Hebrews. A little bit different, but yet the thought is the same. The thing was that you and I, as sinners, could never make an approach to God. But God made the approach. He came down past the nature of angels, took upon Himself the seed of Abraham, and took upon Himself in part our likeness, apart from sin. And He identified with us. When our Lord would walk through this life, and at His baptism, remember, John the Baptist said, "I need to be baptized of you." But the Lord said, "John, suffer it to be so now, for it behooves us, or becomes us, to fulfill all righteousness." And what Jesus Christ was doing was literally identifying with the sinner, that He might save us and pardon us from our sin. But in this case, Aaron and his sons would lay their hands upon the head of this bullock. And the sin offering then is to be slain and the blood sprinkled. Unless that offering is slain and the blood is shed, without the shedding of blood there is no remission. And even these Old Testament men in the priesthood were dedicated with blood, not without blood. And the parts are to be burned on the altar. And then there is rest, or certain parts are to be burned on the altar in verses 11 through 12. And then the rest is to be burned without the camp. It is, as the Bible said, a sin offering. And what again did the writer of Hebrews say? Let's go outside the camp, go outside Jerusalem to the hill called Calvary, and identify with the sin offering that was slain outside the city of Jerusalem. Not in that inward part of the city, but on the outside of the city. And they're coming unto Him who is able to save our souls eternally. So we see that the sin offering was necessary and is necessary. And without identifying with the sin offering, we could never serve the Lord. We could never walk before the Lord. We could never come before the Lord with any success. If an unsaved man makes any petition or prayer, if it's answered, it's just by God's goodness. It's not because of a covenant that God has bound Himself with. But God has established a new covenant, and we as Gentiles are brought in under the benefits of that new covenant. And we do have a claim on God today because He saved us from our sin because we've identified with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that there is a need of a sin offering for these men. Then there is the ram that is a burnt offering. Now some of these offerings, as you read through them, they'll seem to be much the same, or they are in a sense. As they're offered, they're cut up, so forth. There's a lot of similarities between them, but each one of them has a purpose. And we notice then, secondly, that this is a ram that is a burnt offering. Well, let's think about this burnt offering. There's some things that are said about the burnt offering. Again, Aaron and his sons are to identify with it. And we'll find out why that they need to identify with this. Because in just a moment, but it is an offering that is to be slain, and all the parts are to be offered. I mean, every part of it. Once it's divided up, it's clean. It was put back, as the Bible described it, piece to piece, to the head. In other words, put on that altar, the brazen altar, and to be burned. And we'll notice that this is for the nostrils of God, a sweet smelling savor. This offering is, if you please, totally unto the Lord and for the Lord's sake. Now, understand that Jesus Christ died, and it was a sweet smell unto the Father. He had said through the prophet Isaiah, "When I see of the travail of his soul, I'll be satisfied." And it pleased God. But our Lord also was a sin offering. But here this burnt offering is to be presented before and unto the Lord. Well, again, it is a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. And once we are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, to dedicate ourselves to Him. Now, Paul would speak of this in this fashion: "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." There's a matter of just presenting ourselves that it might be pleasing unto the Lord and sweet unto the Lord. We need to go on, or we won't get through this morning. I do want to allow you time to ask questions, because you probably have some, and I'll see if I can answer them. But then we find then the ram for the burnt offering, and then there's the ram that is offered in consecration in verses 19 through 22. Again, Aaron and his sons are to identify with it. Naturally, if there's going to be consecration, there has to be identity. I cannot be consecrated before the Lord for you, nor can you for me. There is a doctrine today that I don't like to call them a church, or I think it's a cult. They believe that they can be baptized for the dead, and they can save folks, even that have been dead for centuries, by being baptized in that name. And their headquarters is out in Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah. And that's their belief. They have some of the best records of history. If you want to study your family tree, they tell me you can go out and look into their annals, and you can find, because they research history, and they have been baptized for the folks of history. There are people that will dedicate themselves to that. In fact, there was a quote made by one who spoke of a certain woman. I don't remember now, and it makes no difference really how many she had been baptized for, but they had the audacity to say that this woman had saved more souls than Jesus Christ did. Now, that was the kind of statement made. You understand the identity. You have to identify. If you're going to be consecrated to the Lord, I cannot be consecrated for you. If I could, I'd probably, every one of you, would be in the ministry somewhere today. But I can't do that. Nor can you for me. In other words, they had to identify again with this offering as they did the other. And then there are some things that are said here. The blood of this offering of consecration was first of all to be taken, and there was to be blood put on the right ear of Aaron and his sons. Now, that means that the ear is consecrated to the Lord, and the purpose of the consecration is not just to have good hearing, but it's to hear what God has to say. If we're going to serve God, we're going to be used of God, we're going to be consecrated to Him, we better be very attentive with a dedicated ear to hear the things of God. Now, let me just enlarge on this. It's a subject aside from the subject. But it's very important that we hear the appropriate things. There's a lot goes on in this world today we don't need to hear about. The truth is, if I were to ask for a show of hands, and I won't, there's a lot of you today, just like me, that you've heard things in your life that you wish you could forget. And you ought to forget if you can. But they're fixed in your mind because you heard them through the ear. And it's caused a lot of misery in your life. And we need to have that ear consecrated to the Lord to hear the Word of God. And then it was to be put upon the thumb of the right hand. And, of course, you left-handed folks will have to bear with me. But since it is a dominant society of right hand, the idea is the right hand is the hand of service before the Lord. And it is to be dedicated. That hand to labor is to be dedicated unto the Lord. I got in trouble in a class I taught years ago. I got teasing about left-handed. Reese is left-handed, if y'all don't know it. And There's some downsides to that. And I'll digress a moment. A left-handed person, if the handle on a skillet is fastened with a bolt, a left-handed person picking that skillet up, loosening that handle all the time. If you're married to a left-handed person, you'll be tightening that, all the handles on the pans and skillets rest of your life. Because it's just natural. It unscrews it when you pick it up. But I just give you that for you. I won't charge you for that this morning. But the right hand and the thumb of the right hand is to be dedicated to God. Our service, our labor is to be dedicated to the Lord. And the only way that our labor is ever going to be accepted in the sight of God is because we've identified with this offering of consecration. And the same offering, of course, is all of us, for us today as believers. Christ is our sin offering. Christ is our burnt offering. Christ is our offering of consecration. As our dedication is given, our service is given, it's to be given unto Him. And in it, the great toe of the right foot is to be anointed. Our walk before God is to be appropriate. It is to be correct. It is to be a matter of consecration or dedication to the Lord. And then Aaron and his sons are to be sprinkled with blood. You and I, as we walk this pilgrim's way today, we need to be conscious that our walk be fitting to the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. The plan that God had to redeem our souls, we never want to deviate and depart from that. So we see the ram of consecration. Then there's the wave offering in verses 23 through 28. But it is associated now back with this previous offering of consecration. It is an offering that was taken. Now, as the Bible speaks of it in places as a meat offering, actually it is a meal offering. It is not a meat offering as we think of meat. The Bible does speak of the meat of the wheat and so forth. It was a grain offering, an offering of bread. But this particular offering was to be taken and it was to be held up and waved before the Lord. In other words, it was presented as a ceremony of dedication. It was waved before the Lord that the Lord might see it and might accept it. There are just a couple of things I want to say about it here that would it was of course waved. It was to be given with the oil, the beaten oil, and with the wine. Now, oil, the beaten oil in particular, does speak of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. There's a difference in crushed oil, beaten oil. You'll find this distinction in a number of things. Olive oil that was used for the light, that divine light inside the tabernacle, had to be of beaten olives, not of just crushed olives, but beaten olives. Which our Lord went through suffering that we might stand in His presence today. But I'm not going into any more detail. And then, of course, the wine, not to get drunk on, is a lot of folks do today, but it speaks of joy. We are to give ourselves as a wave offering before the Lord, and it's to be accepted as we look at Jesus Christ, who literally presented Himself before the Father, and He did so with joy that was set before Him. That's what the Bible said. Who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross with all of the shame that was involved with it. Why did He do it? Because He saw us in the future, that one day we'd be privileged to be such that we could bow our knee and yield our hearts to Jesus Christ and call upon His precious name. So we have the wave offering before the Lord. And then the garments are to be passed along to Aaron's sons. The altar shall have a sin offering and be cleansed every day in verses 34 through 37. Somebody asked about the cleansing of the altar the other day. In other words, it is to be cleansed. It had to be taken care of in a proper fashion. I always had some difficulty with all of the grills that I ever used to cook with. I'm not much on cleaning, to tell you the truth. And I try to build a fire big enough if it was charcoal so that it'd burn some of the stuff off of the grill. The metal grid that was there to hold the meat. But this one was taken care of. It was appropriately dedicated and fashioned and cleansed so that it would be acceptable before God. And then just quickly I'll deal with the continual offerings before the Lord, offerings of the priests. There was a morning and an evening offering. The lamb was to be offered. It was to be offered again with beaten oil, and it was to be offered with the wine of joy. In other words, this was something that was to be so that we'd be conscious of what Jesus Christ did for us in His death, and then the joy that's set before Him, and we enjoy that joy today. We enter into it today. We are privileged to enjoy our salvation today. And the Bible said this is a continual burnt offering. It's to be presented before the Lord in a continual fashion. And then in verses 42 through 46, God will meet here with Israel. Where's God going to meet with them? In the place where this priesthood is, where the offerings are made, in this place of consecration. God will sanctify the priest before Him, and God will dwell among them. They will know the Lord and what He's done. This was the purpose, so that the children of Israel would be conscious of what God had done for them. It was to be constantly a reminder. And today, if I could encourage you to take seriously what Paul said to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, why do we want to do that? So that we're conscious every day of what Jesus Christ has done for us, that we never forget it. The Apostle Peter spoke of this as he said, add to your faith. He gave certain things to add to your faith. He said, if these things are added to your faith, or you're in movement, progressing daily, he said, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. But he said, if a man does not do this, he'll even forget that he was purged from his old sins. I'm like Dr. Harold Sattner. He said, the only reason I believe that a man can forget he's saved is because God said so. But he said, why in the world would anybody want to ever forget what God has done for us? And the children of Israel, in this consecration of the priests, God said, I'll dwell among you. And I want the folks to know me and to know what I have done for them. And God wants you to know today that He is with you and in you, and He wants you to constantly know what He has done. And if you'll do that, every day will be a whole lot better. It'll be sweet like that taste of the wine that went with these offerings before the Lord. There is a joy that we have. Now, joy is different than hilarity. The world offers hilarity, trying to mimic joy. But joy is a sweet, settled peace before God, knowing that whatever comes, all things do work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. All right, I've covered the lesson this morning.